Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for October 22nd, 2016. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the WTA Finals from Singapore. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to check them out for the upcoming ATP World Tour Finals in London, as well as the Australian Open in January. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host Parsa. How are you today, buddy?
Doing great. How are you?
Very good. We've got a lot to cover this week with the final event on the women's calendar, the WTA Finals in Singapore, as I mentioned, as well as some ATP action that's taking place next week in Basel and Vienna. And then there's some events taking place tomorrow, some finals featuring Delpo, Jack Sock, etc. So, and then we also want to touch base on Nadal pulling the ripcord on his ear, and the latest developments in the Nick Kyrgios suspension saga. So, lot to discuss. Let's get right into the WTA Finals draw, Parsa. Interesting that Kuznetsova just won in Moscow today, and that was the determining factor in her qualifying for the ATP Finals. So, what an effort by the veteran, you know, Russian. It's kind of sad for Joanna Konta, right? She gets there, she's all, you know, dressed up, she's doing the press stuff, but and she's kind of in this, like, holding pattern, right? And then all of a sudden, Kuznetsova wins today, and she's like, you know, sorry, maybe you play if somebody's injured, right? So, but that's the way it is, and it's still an honor to, you know, be there even as an alternate. And, you know, as you said earlier in this year, I mean, Konta's, I think, the real deal. She's a good player, and you know, I can only see good things coming for her. And you kind of see a really nice, on a side note, resurrection now in British tennis, right? You got Kyle Edmund, he just lost in the semis today to Gasquet in Antwerp. So he's coming on strong. He's going to break the top 50 now. Murray, as we know, is chasing number one. And then you have, you know, top 10 player in Konta. So, you know, kudos to British tennis, and let's see where they're headed. Moving now into the red and the white groups as they're, you know, broken down in Singapore. The red group features world number one Angelique Kerber, also Simona Halep, Madison Keys, and Dominika Sivakova. And then in the white group, we have Radwanska, Pliskova, US Open finalist, French Open winner Muguruza, and then, as I mentioned, Kuznetsova, who won in Moscow today. So in my opinion, definitely the red group is much stronger, right? That goes without saying. And how do you look at the developments of this? I mean, it's interesting for me, Parsa, that Kerber has not really played that well this fall. You know what I mean? She obviously won the US Open, which was tremendous. You know, now Serena's bagged the year. That's another thing we should talk about, too. How much Serena's second year in a row now withdrawal in this event has affected this tournament, right? And so, I mean, that's, you know, that's something to discuss. But let's first talk about, you know, this group, the red group, and what are your thoughts overall of Kerber, Halep, Keys, and Sivakova?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kerber is the number one player in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, well-deserved and has had a tremendous year. And, you know, you have to kind of look to her to step up and play the big matches the way she's played them all year. Yeah, there have been, you know, quote-unquote struggles, but that's when you're comparing to the dominance of the Federer or the Nadal or Djokovic, and, you know, or Serena Williams for that matter. And Kerber isn't that type of number one necessarily, but she is a big-time, big-match player. And I think as the pressure mounts, I think you're going to see the best from her, you know, if, you know, for one or two matches, and I think she'll advance to the semifinals for sure.
I think it's a safe bet. I mean, she's number one in the world. I'm just kind of worried that her current form, she could also be tired too. I mean, this has been a long year and she's been playing. She's been playing a lot of tournaments and you know, she's kept going. You know, to me, I wouldn't overlook Sybil Koval in this group. I mean, she's a spark plug. She's got more energy than she knows what to do with. And I mean, she could definitely, I think, make the semifinals here. I mean, she is the lowest ranked player in this, but I think Keys is coming in, you know, holding a little bit of an injury. But I mean, when she connects, she's just absolutely bludgeoning the ball. Obviously, the two favorites are going to be Kerber and Halep. But for me, I'm going to actually go with, I'm going to be going with Halep and Sybil Koval to make the semifinals here. What do you have?
Yeah, and I'm going to go polar opposite. I'm going to have Keys finishing one in the group.
Okay.
And Kerber finishing two.
Okay, yeah, that I mean, you know, these type of tournaments, and we'll obviously get into the men's when it comes up in a few weeks' time in London, they're unique because you can even lose a match. Sometimes you can even lose two matches and still make the semifinals.
Right.
So it's like, it's amazing, and that dynamic, and you're always going to have good matches because these are all top eight players. So it's not like they're unknowns at any degree. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we'll, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. I believe the action does get underway tomorrow as well, which will be fun. So the white group, we have Radwanska, Pliskova, Muguruza, and Kuznetsova. A little bit more of a wild card. Muguruza hasn't been playing particularly well. And then Pliskova, for me, I mean, look, she had that amazing run in Cincy and then making the U.S. Open Finals. So if you take that out of the equation, yeah, she's had a good year, but I mean, that's really what put her over the top and in this position. Her game, to me, is good. It's very one-dimensional, though. I mean, she just goes for it, and I don't think she's the best mover, and she doesn't really have the finesse at the net, like the drop shots or anything like that. So I don't know. It could be good enough. I don't know what the court surface is playing like in Singapore. I would imagine that it's medium fast. At, you know, that's just a guess, an educated guess. For me, I'm going to be going here, Parsa, with Radwanska and Muguruza to make the semifinals. What's your call on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a completely interesting section here. First of all, you've got a very informed Kuznetsova right now. She's coming, the one that's the most informed probably of anyone in the tournament, coming off the heels of winning five matches in a row, has always got to feel good. And
yeah,
she just finished, but she could also be tired. I mean, there's
that turnaround. Yeah, that turnaround is tough.
Yep. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in Pliskova. I think that this could be another significant result for her. I think she'll be advancing. I wasn't a big Muguruza believer at the French. You know, she caught fire a little bit, and her reaction has told me a lot. You know, I think it happened because she was hitting the ball well, and if she's not hitting the ball well, then I don't think it can happen. And what I mean by that is, you know, for me, the champions sometimes, most of the time, are how you get through the matches that you're not playing well. And so against this level of competition where she's playing the best players in the world for three matches, I think she's going to win one and lose two. And I don't think that'll be good enough to get through them.
Yes.
So, I think that Radwanska is the one that sort of can get her way through those bad matches. And for that reason, I'm going to have Radwanska and Pliskova.
Okay. And so, you know, then we got to also go with who you're picking first, because this is a little bit more tricky to predict. So I'm going to be going with Halep to finish one in the red group, followed by Sybil Koval. And then I'm going to have Radwanska finishing one in the white group, followed by Muguruza. So that would be, that would make it Halep versus Muguruza. And that would be Sybil Koval versus Radwanska, I believe, right? And then I'm going to have Halep versus Radwanska in the finals. And I'm having Radwanska win this tournament. What do you have?
Yeah, so I'll end up having in the white group, I'll have Radwanska as the one, Pliskova as the two. And so then it'll be Kerber versus Pliskova in one semi, and Madison Keys versus Radwanska in the other one. And I think it's going to be a rematch of a red group match. And I think it's going to be Kerber versus Keys. And I think Kerber is going to win the title.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. It's going to be a safe bet for sure. So, Parsa, we got to talk about obviously the absence of Serena Williams. She was, you know, undoubtedly into this event, but as you mentioned in last week's podcast, she was doing some stuff in New York, and she hasn't played since the U.S. Open, similar to what she did last year. So I think this is the pattern that you're going to see from Serena. I mean, I don't think she really has any interest in playing after the U.S. Open anymore. I don't think you're going to see, you know, too much of a discrepancy with that going forward.
She didn't play much all year, Nima.
No, she didn't. She played, I think, less than 8 to 10 events.
I think she played 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she played all the slams. She played Rome. Not much else. Yeah, I mean, Olympics.
Not including the Olympics. I think she played 6.
Yeah, so it's not much, right? All the slams, which was good to see her there. But in the slams, I mean, she did well, right? She made finals in Australia, finals of French, won Wimbledon, semis of US. So definitely very competitive still in the biggest tournaments out there. But it's a blow to the event. I mean, you know, there's a time where she's obviously given more than she needs to at this stage to the WTA. But
she could have been retired by now easily and no one would say anything.
No, for sure. And she still wants to play. And I think she has every inclination of playing at least another couple of years. I don't think you're going to see her retire next year. I think she'll play at least till 2018. That's my prediction. I think, you know, just talking to some of the people in the industry and, you know, that work with her on her, you know, the stuff that, you know, her apparel and rackets and all that stuff, she, you know, it looks like she has every, you know, inclination and desire to play still for a few more years. So we'll see how that you know, unfolds, but definitely a blow to the tournament, and we hope to see her fit and ready to go for the Australian Open. Changing now gears quickly to the men's side, we obviously have, as I mentioned, Vienna and Basel taking place tomorrow. Valencia is off the planet, I guess, right? That used to be a tournament. I think they got rid of that, which is unfortunate because it's in such a nice setting in that library in Valencia. I loved watching that tournament, but I guess it's not around anymore. So Parsa, as it stands right now, right, we have five players qualified for the ATP World Tour Finals in London, led by Djokovic, Murray, Wawrinka, Raonic, and Nishikori. Monfils is the next to qualify at 6. He lost early to Elias in this week in Antwerp, I believe, in Stockholm. Nadal is done for the year, so we'll get into that in a second. So if you take Nadal out of the equation, if it started tomorrow, you would have Monfils, Thiem, and Burdich round out the top 8. Do you see any of that changing? I mean, it's followed by the likes of Goffin, who actually just lost to Schwartzman in his hometown event in Antwerp, Belgium, 7-5 in the third, which is very shocking to me. So it's going to be Gasquet and Schwartzman in the finals tomorrow. And then Cilic is there. Kyrgios, as we know, is done for the year. Federer is done for the year. Batista Agut is at 13. So do you see it just coming true to form? Like, will it be Monfils, Thiem, and Burdich rounding it out? Or do you see other guys, like a guy like Goffin, can you get into that mix as well?
I mean, probably it will be, because Burdich has to always get in, right, Nima?
Yeah.
There's just, like, somehow the one year that he wouldn't get in, Federer and Nadal are both not going to partake in. And there's Burdich again. You know, he just always finds his way in there. It's a testament to him and his career. He's always been very consistent and up there.
Yes.
You know, with Goffin, he can go to Paris and win it. So I wouldn't put it out of the realms of possibility, as that's historically a tournament that a lot of guys don't play and pull out and sort of do that kind of thing. Although I think Murray's going to play it, and I think he's probably going to win it. So we'll see. I mean, I think the way it is right now is there's a very good chance it's going to end up that way.
Yeah, I would say so as well too. I mean, look, if I could ideally have it, I would be awesome if, you know, Nadal was there, Federer was there, and even Kyrgios was there. I think that would make, you know, if you had Djokovic, Murray, Wawrinka, Raonic, Nishikori, Nadal, Federer, and Kyrgios, I think that would be awesome. I think you would have some cool matches there, but it is what it is, and we have to, you know, we're going to obviously watch it and break it down. So, Parsa, let's end off with Nadal. He announced earlier this week that he's done for the year. He's going to be recovering from, you know, the wrist injury that he had that began at the French Open when he withdrew before his third round, and that has been lingering in his eyes now for the rest of the season. Do you see this as a good move for him, or is there more to it than we think, and will he be ready to go in 2017?
It's definitely going to be I took a deep breath there because he didn't hit the ball that well.
No.
And there's a lot of ever-changing things with Nadal and things that we don't really know. And you know, all the news right now is about his academy and how he's preparing for the future and doing all those kinds of things. And you just kind of don't know where his brain space is at. He's definitely in the final stages. I think he wants to play big-time tennis.
It'll be tough.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting because then you have the flip side where, you know, Fed was there too earlier this week, you know, opening up his academy, which was awesome to see them together just because of the, you know, that bond that they have, that friendship, that amazing rivalry that they've had throughout their careers, all those Fidel matches that we were so pumped up about and we watched, you know, very adamantly. I think Federer is going to have a decent year next year, though, to be honest with you, because he's going to be super fresh. Now he's got like 6 months off. He's going to build up his body, and it doesn't take a lot out of him to play. I mean, I think he's easily top eight next year. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't know how competitive he'll be. I mean, he played two slams this year, and he made the semis. Djokovic pretty much wiped the floor with him in Australia, but, you know, at Wimbledon, he had a lot of chances to beat Raonic and make the finals. So that didn't take place, and we haven't seen him since there. But it's going to be interesting to see what Federer does. And, you know, Parsa, we're going to end off today's show with, you know, the entertaining Nick Kyrgios. You know, he's in Boca Raton right now at the Everett Academy, practicing there with his girlfriend and the team that he has there. He said that he's been working hard every day, which I don't really know if he is or not. We'll just take his word for it. But very interesting, you know, he got basically 8 weeks, an extra $25,000 fine. And I know that you think that it was a little bit of a joke, what that fine was. And, you know, what do you think he should have got? I mean, then we'll obviously top it off with, you know, Richard Krajicek basically terminating his contract in Rotterdam next year. Kyrgios has opted to instead play in the Celebrity All-Star Game for the NBA, which is, you know, his passion. He loves basketball. For me, that's not a big deal at all, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a decision that he's made now in October, right? That's something that's 4 or 5 months in the future. 4 months in the future. That's, to me, he's giving people ample notice. He's like, I'm not going to be there. You know, to me, that's not a big deal. And it's also, basketball is such a big sport. I think it's good to see him there. That gives it more, you know, that's more of a promotional thing. So he misses a 500 event. I don't think that's the end of the world, in my opinion. The other stuff is a different story. I think, honestly, his suspension was a little bit of a joke. And the fine is completely nothing for him. So what, you know, obviously want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was very disappointed because he's the kind of guy that, you know, in sports you can, you know, lose, you can not play well, you can make decisions beforehand, but when you're there and it comes down to the same thing again for me, Nima. I got that sour taste from Dimitrov at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
It's like people are paying, they work their asses off, excuse my language, to buy tickets to come watch you play, and people take time out of their day to watch you play on TV, and there's so many things vested. It's like, as a you're just not professional, and you need to be hit hard, and you need to be hit hard as if you were a child, because that is a child's behavior. That's what I see in junior matches when the kids don't feel like playing. They're like, oh, I don't feel like playing, and they sort of just throw it in. But this is not child's play. This is a professional event, and you know, people are spending their hard-earned money. People are working behind the scenes, and they're trying their best to make the event great for the players, great for the spectators, great for everybody that's involved. And it's a disgrace to everybody. I don't care, from the linesmen to the ball kids, to the organizers, to the fans, to the people who are producing the TV show or whatever it is, to us who are doing the podcast and covering professional tennis. I think it's disrespectful to everybody, and I think the fine needed to be hit in such a manner that it's a serious wake up call, you know, and something that really can't happen. And you know, this is one of the problems with when you have a players union as the ATP Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they have to look out for their players as they're run by the players, and they're separated from the tournament directors. And you know, you don't have this sort of authoritative figure in many aspects, Nima. This is, so we're talking about Kyrgios and sportsmanship at this moment, but it affects something like how the guys at the lower ends of the spectrum, let's say the guy who's ranked 80 in the world, doesn't make a proportionate amount of income compared mm-hmm. to the guy at the top, you know. And where I'm going with that is the top guy can have two coaches, a super coach, a physio, a masseuse, a trainer, a massive team, mm-hmm. while the guy who's 80 who's going to play him in the first round can't afford to pay his coach to come in, and it's sort of got his girlfriend in the box, and that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. That's not an even playing field. And I think this is where you run into this problem. And when it comes to the Kyrgios situation, I think this is another symptom of that greater problem. You know, in that tennis isn't one unified voice that's going on, and it's not a league or one authoritative figure in the sport, and there's multiple entities that are going on, and it is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't think it's a good thing for tennis, though, Nima, to be honest with you, that Kyrgios is allowed to sort of do this. It's not the first time either, you know, which is why I would go heavy. I'd go, you know, maybe not $1 million. I think that would be excessive. But if you hit that guy for $250,000, that would hurt. You know, and it would make him definitely do a double take. $25,000? Are you kidding me? He just, I don't know, how much did he win for winning Tokyo?
Oh, he won quite a bit, probably around 300 and something US.
Right. So yeah. So you're looking at what? What's the math there? I mean, 1/12 of what he got. I mean, come on, it's just not even a. Doesn't even hurt at all.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, it's you know, he's, as I've said in before, just quickly parse it, this year he made $1.75 million.
Yeah, so knock him off for $500,000, and trust me, next year he's not throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
Maybe he just won't show up. I'd rather him not show up.
Yeah.
And as a spectator, you put two guys that are gonna, you know, you put Diego Schwartzman out there who's gonna run his butt off left and right to try to win. I'd rather see that than to see some guy, you know, not putting in what he can.
Of course, yeah, no question about it. We want to see Kyrgios play at his maximum, and when he can do that, I mean, it's amazing. But that's what we want to see every single week. Whatever week he decides to show up, even if he says, "Listen, guys, I'm going to play 10 tournaments next year, but I'm going to give 100% every single tournament." That's good. I'm okay with that. But that's what it has to be.
So which is exactly what you brought up about the All-Star game in Rotterdam next year. I mean, he said, "I want to do this." Good, go do that, because your head may have been at the All-Star game when you're in Rotterdam.
Exactly.
And doing this again.
So. And that's what Krajicek said too. He said, "Like, I don't want this guy to come here and just tank the match. What is that going to do for me?" You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. So instead of him, they got Wawrinka now. So I mean, that's not a bad option, right?
Amazing trade, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you want, right? So that's how these kinds of tournaments work, and we'll see how it all unfolds, but it's going to be an interesting dynamic for me. I don't think we're going to see him until the Australian Open, because on Twitter he had a question and answer, and he said he's not going to look for any help or anything. He's probably going to play the IPTL, because it has nothing to do with the professional tour, so he'll get some matches in there. Then he's going to go play the Hopman Cup, which again is an exhibition event, so there's no restriction there. And then he'll practice on the grounds, and he'll get ready for his first round match at the Oz Open, and we'll see how he does there and go forward. So, in the meanwhile, got an interesting final tomorrow, Parsa. Just quickly want your thoughts on it. We have Delpo versus Jack Sock, who got through a super tough match. I actually watched it, versus Alex Zverev, 6-7, 7-6, 6-4, to face Delpo in the finals. It's 2 hours, almost 50 minutes. Delpo got through your boy Dimitrov, 6-5. Hour 42. I mean, Delpo has just been cleaning up this week, man. What an amazing player, man. Like, honestly, I love watching the guy play. He loves the sport so much. I mean, if he could give even 10% of the amount of passion he has for tennis to Nick Kyrgios, I think tennis would be in a much better place. You know, he beat Dimitrov today in straights. He beat Karlovic yesterday 3-4, and that's not an easy scoreline to get against the tall Croatian by any means. He beat Almagro 4-3. I mean, this guy is coming on, and then he beat Isner 6-4. 4-6, pardon me. I mean, he has not dropped a set. He's had a pretty tough, that's a tough draw. Those guys are all at one point or another done a lot, been top 10, and then he's playing Jack Sock, who I think is going to be a little bit depleted tomorrow. But nevertheless, a good final. What have you any thoughts quickly on that one? And what?
I ultimately think that Delpo just is going to hit the ball so big that
Yeah.
it's going to be hard for Sock. It's going to come down to holding serve, and you know what? Sock is doing that this week, and I think it's going to be an enticing final. I think Sock's got nothing to lose, and he's going to unload and try to find his forehand to Delpo's backhand and expose that side if possible. And I think it's going to be a great match. I'll go with something like 6-4 in the third for Delpa.
Yeah, and for me, it's one thing that was troubling watching this event is that they don't have Hawkeye, and there has to be some sort of absolute regulation now that you have to have Hawkeye at every single tournament, especially on the center court, especially in these indoor events where I think they only have like two courts, because it's like the guys are used to it, right? Their psyche and their whole mentality on playing. It's like if the umpire makes a mistake, they want to have that reassurance and that luxury to say, I want to challenge that. Listen, if you were right, good on you. But you know what? There was some iffy calls out there, and you could see that that's really affecting them. And it's like a smartphone, you know what I mean? You wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you go see what's happening on your phone, right? Before anything else. It's that dependency that we come across in terms of technology. And this is just another one of those things that's happened now with the tour. So I think definitely they got to look at that. Other finals in Moscow is going to be Corino Busta, who's had an under the radar season. He's made a bunch of finals. He beat Stefan Rabar today, so in straights. He's going to play Fabio Fognini in the finals tomorrow. Fognini took out Cole Schreiber in straights. I'm going to be going with Fognini to win that title. And then, as I mentioned, in Antwerp, we're going to have Diego Schwartzman, who you just mentioned. He beat David Goffin in a really good match, 7-5, 2-6, 7-5. It took 2 hours and 23 minutes. He's going to be playing Richard Gasquet, who beat the ever-improving Kyle Edmund, 3-6, 7-5, 6-2. I'm going to probably be going with Gasquet to win yet another title. I think he'll have something in the vicinity of, if I'm right, yeah, 14th. It will be his 14th career title. So with that said, Parse, I don't know if you have any closing words for this week.
No, I mean, it's actually some interesting things going on, and
Yes.
look forward to see how the women unfold and see where the men line up.
Just to close off here, I had an interesting thought. I mean, as you know, and as a lot of people who know me know that, I'm a big fan of Nike and their and the corporation there. And if you look at their big four players with Serena, Federer, Nadal, and Sharapova, they're all 30 and up, and they're winding down towards their career. I mean, Federer and Serena are over 35 now. Nadal's going to be 31 next year. Sharapova is in her 30s. It's time to really start looking at that next generation. And if you look at that, I mean, Adidas on the men's side, they have, Zverev and Thiem, who I think are going to win some majors. And then on the women's side, they have that Osaka lady who's amazing. And then they have obviously Kerber, who's number one, and Muguruza, who won the French. So in terms of, an apparel company standpoint, I mean, I think Adidas is in far better position right now. So it's going to be interesting to see, because those are always those things on the side, if you're, because, it's a lot of stuff that I do with Tennis Connect in terms of reviews and, consumer analysis and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting for me to see, because Adidas has been destroying everybody in terms of their stocks this year. And I
Don't
think,
worry, Nike will have the capital to pay when those guys are done.
yeah, exactly. It's going to be their cap will be freed up. So at any rate, thanks everybody out there for listening. Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, once again. Make sure to check us out next week as we will review the WTA finals in Singapore, prep up the Paris Masters in France, and as well for anybody looking to get down to the ATP World Tour finals in London or the Australian Open in January. Make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. Thanks again. Make sure to check us out for Parsa Sammy at Parsa Sammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected, and you can also check us out on Instagram, our Facebook page, and iTunes. Be good. Enjoy all the tennis this week. There's a lot to watch, and we will chat with you in 7 days' time.